Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show features my conversations with three panels of students, parents, teachers, and original Freedom Writers who participated in our new book, Dear Freedom Writer. We discuss overcoming mental health emergencies, the struggles faced by first-generation Americans, and how to maintain a vision, even without sight. This episode is a sneak peek into the 50 stories of hardship and hope from Dear Freedom Writer, and I hope it will leave you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. After nearly 2 years of developing, writing, and editing this labor of love, our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, was released to the world on March 29th, 2022. With 50 new stories from 50 new authors from all around the world and 50 heartfelt responses, the Freedom Writers and I did what we do best. We hosted an event at the Hotel Maya in Long Beach, California for a Freedom Writer Symposium, celebrating the amazing accomplishment of these student authors, their parents, and the educators who empower them. Over the course of this heartwarming gathering, the student authors of Dear Freedom Writer not only got to meet the phenomenal Freedom Writers and the Freedom Writer teachers who responded to their letters, but they also got to meet their fellow student authors in person, many of them for the first time. On this week's podcast, we are showcasing three of these amazing teams: Team Lexi, Team Ashish, and Team Jasmine. We hope that each of their stories can give you insight into not only the struggles they face, but also the advice and support that these brave student authors give to triumph in the face of adversity. Without further ado, here are my panel discussions with the spectacular student authors of Dear Freedom Writer and the advocates and allies who support them. To kick off our panel in a moment, we have Sue Ellen Alpazar, who is an original Freedom Writer. Sue Ellen is also on the cover of the book, so she has a story in the first edition in 1999, a second story in the 10th anniversary, 2009, and a third story in the 20th anniversary in 2019. So that is Sue Ellen. We'll be hearing from her in a moment. Besides the ever so lovely Sue Ellen is an amazing teacher who is actually here supporting not just one, but two incredible student authors. She is supporting Lexi, who you're gonna learn about today. And she's also celebrating Sam, who is in the audience today. So everybody say hello to Megan, who is supporting two amazing students from New York. We've had a lot of love in this room today. We've had a lot of tears today. We've had a lot of mamas emoting, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And so to have a proud mother who's already starting to well up, to have a proud mother who's been dancing and crying and standing on a line means the world. So get your hankies handy, because you're gonna need them, because these wonderful women are gonna make you emote. So let's hear it for Team Lexi and Mama Love. And I know that there's like channels right now that are like promoting some like red carpet and like the Oscars. Who cares about the Oscars when we've got a real star on our hands? And that is Team Lexi in the house. And in my pocket, she didn't know that I was walking around with it, is a present that I was given when they arrived from New York. And it is a gorgeous butterfly. Lexi, who has been taught you never go somewhere empty-handed, wanted to bring a piece of her and a piece of this beautiful butterfly. And she said, sadly, when she was in the hospital, that one of her friends drew something that was this exact image. And then she killed herself. So when I received that gift, I also received that story. And on this butterfly, it says, be the change. So we're gonna have a very courageous conversation about mental health. We're gonna have a very courageous conversation of being an advocate, for the youth, whether it's a mom, a teacher, a freedom writer, or oneself, to put it out in the world. Because this beautiful little butterfly, who's not with us, didn't have the cocoon that we are in right now, didn't get loved on the way we want to love on Lexi. So names matter, and stories matter, and memories matter. So in honor of your friend who is no longer with us, I wanted to have this as a keepsake as we're talking. And maybe as we each talk, I'm gonna pass it to you so you can hold it, and the symbolism of this butterfly is gonna be with all of us. So Sue Ellen, I wanna pass this butterfly to you. And you are Team Lexi all the way, because you are Lexi all the way. You responded to her letter like a cry for help, and it was heart-wrenching, and it was hurtful, and yet heroic, because she's like a superhero. She's like a badass. So with that butterfly in hand, with a microphone in hand, can you tell us what it was like to read Lexi's story and to respond with such clarity, with such transparency, and with such reflection?
For me, reading Lexi's story brought back a lot of memories. It's not only something that I have dealt with, but it's something that I deal with to this day, and that's my mental health. And there is such shame and stigma that surrounds this topic, and I loved how honest and raw she was in her story. It just reminded me how important it was for us to talk about it. And as someone that is a work in progress, perfectly imperfect, I had to be honest. And it made me also reflect on me and my process and my journey with my mental health.
Megan, we would not have fallen in love with Lexi, which we have. An honor student at Nassau Community College who sent her here in honor of this incredible journey. And this college, because of Lexi, is selecting Dear Freedom Writer as the freshman experience. Every single member of this community college, and there's about 10,000 folks, are going to read Dear Freedom Writer in the fall. 10,000 kids because of Lexi. That's pretty amazing. Robert Brown Jr., that would be a lot of books if you had to fly to New York and sign 10,000 books. But Megan, before there was an author, before there was a book chosen, there was a teacher who had to come to the Freedom Writers Institute, and you've come back, and you've sent these amazing students. So how did you know that you had to be one of us?
I didn't start out teaching high school. I started teaching preschool, and said preschool closed, and they sent me to high school, and I had no idea what I was doing, absolutely no idea. And in the beginning of the year, one of the brainstorming sessions we had said, someone mentioned, oh, why don't you read the Freedom Writer's Diary? And it was the first thing that I felt confident enough to read with my students, because I knew they knew I was up there as an imposter. They knew I had no idea what I was doing. I was pages ahead of them and just hoping they weren't going to ask any tough questions.
I'm like paragraphs ahead. You're pages.
And I had Lexi my second year, but it was the first thing that made me confident as a high school teacher.
So you're holding a butterfly, and I think that butterfly is symbolic of your students. So how did you know that Lexi, along with Sam, had to be a part of this project?
Lexi stands out. So in the school we work with, it's all students that have some type of mental health need. So we get a lot of time together with them in the classroom, and Lexi stood out for very different reasons today than they were then. But we didn't know if Lexi was gonna make it in the school, in the world. But she showed up. And I think a lot of that was from Mom. I know a lot of that was from Mom. And she stood out. And I know I say it to you all the time, I cannot believe that we are here. And you are on the stage in front of all these people, and I watch you in Nassau presenting, and I think back to what it was. I think if any of the three of us were to have this conversation 6 years ago, it would have been absolutely not, you're crazy.
No.
Not even a thought, professionally, personally, any of it. I'm just so in awe of you, so in awe of you.
Let me have that butterfly as we clap. We're gonna pass the butterfly. As a mom, hearing an educator and a room full of people and people around the world watching your daughter, what does it feel like to hear the word proud and awe and know that she is this blossoming and blooming butterfly?
It's amazing to me. I can't even put it into words what I see in front of me, because this is not the Lexi from years ago. The Lexi from years ago told me, Mom, let me go. Many times. And to hear that from your kid, I don't want to be here anymore. Let me go. I'm suffering. It was probably the hardest thing ever. And I had to muster everything up to tell her, no, you need to be here. You're meant to be here. You're here. Be here.
So in the audience and at home, there's a lot of parents. And I can't think of anything more heart-wrenching and piercing to say. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. So, Lexi, when you were suffering and you couldn't see today, you couldn't see the light, you couldn't see the beautiful butterfly that you've become, what was that like then, and what is it like now?
I think then I felt like I was fulfilling other people's prophecies, because it wasn't just me. So many people, so many places told me I needed to lower my expectations, that I wasn't gonna make it, that we'd run out of options. So when Ms. Abruzzo was telling me, like, you just gotta keep showing up, and my mom's telling me, like, you just gotta keep trying, I was like, what the heck are you talking about? The doctors are telling me there's nothing left. But, I mean, this butterfly, Gabby didn't make it because she didn't have my mom, and I always tell my mom that I think my mom was everything.
So we got a panel full of criers, an audience full of criers. And I think when we talk about suicide ideation, when we talk about mental health, when we talk about those that have been institutionalized, those are taboo subjects behind closed doors. So the door is open. Our hearts are open. And the subject is open. So back to your mom. Take that butterfly. Let it float down. As a mom, what was that fear of loss? Because your heart must have been aching at the idea of losing this beautiful child who is evolving into this beautiful woman. Can you explain to the mamas in this room that you've prayed with today, to the mamas in this room that you're going to dance with tonight, and every other emotion in between, what is that like as a parent to hold on and to fight?
Mental health really is such a stigma out there. And if you don't fight for your child, they will get lost in the system. It just sucks. It really does. And the older they get, the worse it is. And there's so many professionals out there who think they know what's going on. You're their best advocate. You have to be their voice. You have to fight for them. I'm still fighting for her. I'm never going to give up, ever.
I need that butterfly to float its way down to Sue Ellen, because I'm all about metaphors. And Sue Ellen, what I love about this butterfly is you too are worth fighting for. You too, I'm not a biological mom, but I'm very much a mom. And I had to make a decision to have Sue go to a hospital like Lexi. I drove her to the hospital. And for 72 hours, that turned into 8 days, I didn't know she'd forgive me. I didn't know she would let me back in. And I hope that there are other people in the audience that are willing to make that call, to take that drive, and to help somebody get help. So what was it like to finally receive help? What was it like to surrender and say, I'm worth fighting for?
That day was a real low point for me. I was so scared because it was such an unknown to me. And what I had was this amazing support, and that's what Lexi has. And that's what I see myself in you, is I have Ms. G, you have your mom.
And Ms. Abruzzo.
And Ms. Abruzzo. And I'm reminded to be grateful of every little thing. So today, watching you guys walk around, talking to each other, I'm just a proud mama here. And I know how it feels. So I know how hard it must have been for you to drive me to College Hospital. But you gave me love that not even my mother could give me.
So, Megan, as teachers, you know, we are mandated reporters. We have to make those tough calls. And I see a lot of teachers nodding their heads. And it's a tough call. Will they forgive? Will they come back? So as a teacher in this noble profession who deal with kids who are often on the brink or on the edge, what is that like for you to be their advocate and to be able to have decisions that are made that are in the best interest of their kids that they might not receive?
It's hard. You do it because you love them, and you do it because you know they need it, and you hope that even if they're mad, you can go to sleep at night knowing that you did the right thing. None of it is ever ill-intended. You know, it's always to get you what you need, but it just rips you apart to have to come to that point, but it's necessary.
So as teachers and as a mother, and Sue Ellen is now a proud mother of all these Freedom Writer student authors, Lexi, there's a question from Deborah, Freedom Writer teacher, and it's for you. She said, Lexi, can you share one example of what you feel a school, a teacher, and let's add in a mom or a dad, so a school teacher or parent, can do to help students just like you? What could we do?
Well, in school, Ms. Abruzzo would let me come into the class early because, I mean, my brain was just exploding in so many different directions. I couldn't focus on class if the chair lines were on the linoleum tiles, if it lined up the wrong way. She'd let me rearrange the entire room, destroy her closet, and then make it beautiful.
That was helpful, to be honest. She could come in and clean my closet whenever she wants.
Yeah. And Mr. Bruiser was just really flexible in the classroom. I mean, she understood if I came in and I'd just been discharged from a hospital, completely nauseated on horrible medication, and like just flexibility and leniency and sort of just understanding. And for my mom, it was just showing up. I mean, holding my hand when I was terrified and constantly reassuring me that, like, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. It's not gonna be tomorrow, but it's gonna be slow, and we're gonna get there.
So I wanna read some praise before we're our butterfly. This comes from our audience. Lexi, you are such an amazing woman. And Megan, you are truly making a difference. But with what I'd like to end with Team Lexi, is the success story. So get those lights out. Let's shine a light on Lexi, that she made it to the other side. You know, the light is the symbolism that some of us go to dark places. Some of us need an extra nudge and not a hand out, but a hand up. So let's lift and elevate and celebrate. So I'm going to ask each of you to think of a word or a thought or even your favorite cliche that lifts and elevates and celebrates Lexi.
Be here. Be here.
Wow. Wow. Megan.
I thought you were giving that to the audience. I had to think. Keep going forward. You've come so far. I take from what you guys say, when freedom writers fall, we fall forward. So even when you're falling, you're still going in that direction. Just keep going forward, no matter how small the step, forward action.
Sue Ellen.
Appreciate the little things. because even the little things are step forward, and just take it all in. And some days it's going to be tough, and I know I'm going to encounter my days, but I truly relish in the days that are bittersweet.
So Lexi, you're going to speak to another Lexi out there. There's someone in a dark place right now. Maybe in this room, maybe on a screen, maybe in another state. So look at the camera and look at a Lexi that you may not even know. Share your story and say, this is for you. You get to be the butterfly.
I don't care who is telling you you can't make it, even if it's yourself, you need to put in that work and you will keep going and you will get there slowly but surely, and then you'll just realize, like, oh, I made it.
Let's hear it for Team Lexi. Let's take in this standing ovation from your brothers and sisters. Soak it all in. Her first standing ovation. Let's take it in. Let's take it in. Wow. Wow. I'm going to ask our fabulous panelists on our first panel to get up, to get hugs as they go back to their seats. I want my butterfly back. I want to keep my butterfly. Sadly, our next panelist, his folks aren't here now, but they're on their way. They're going to be joining us this evening. So in lieu of parents, we're going to ask his best friend, Z. We're going to ask his amazing teacher, Mr. Munoz. We're going to ask Ashish and our freedom writer, Adriana, to join us for our next panel. So let's hear it for Team Ashish with his best friend. So I'm going to introduce once again our panelists. Keep the tweets coming. Keep the questions coming. Keep the comments coming about things that come before and or afterwards. Our first person I'm going to introduce is an original freedom writer. And when we got Ashish's story, it was so perfectly written that it wasn't even for the book. It was originally for an assignment we were doing in our Zoom 203. And it was so brilliant. It really was the foundation of everything that we did going forward. He's an exquisite, exquisite writer. I had to write a lot of letters of rec to a lot of Ivy League colleges for such an exquisite writer. And we're going to find out in a week which schools he got into. I'm hoping he gets into every school. But Adriana is now a teacher, has been a teacher. She's working on her master's, will soon be a professor at Waldorf University, as well as a high school history teacher. But you too see a lot of students. So I can't wait to hear your perspective of his story and your own personal anecdotes. I'm so excited that you are a freedom writer, but you're also an educator. Johnny, you have had both Z and Ashish in your ASB program for 4 years. And in that 4 years, two of those years were in the middle of a pandemic. So we're going to talk about what it's like when you have to cancel everything, every prom, homecoming, graduation, and how do you do something different? And they did. Z, you're his best friend. You are the vice president to his president. And that means you are the yin to his yang. And you probably finish each other's sentences. So I'm just excited for you to be here and to cheer him on because you were a part of this process as it developed. And Ashish, tonight the whole family's coming. The whole family's showing up for you to celebrate you. I'm sad that they're driving here in California. Gas prices are like $7 a gallon, but they are driving all the way from Marina Valley to Long Beach for you, along with your superintendent to celebrate you. So we're going to talk about the idea of this American dream. Is it a fallacy? Is it real? Is it a strange construct? So, Adriana, when you were his age, middle school and the beginning of high school, you probably never thought that you would be a teacher, that you would be getting a master's degree, and that you would become a professor as well. So go back to their age when you were in high school, and as someone who grew up in poverty, not thinking that college was even attainable, what's it like looking back that not only is it attainable, you just keep doing it?
I think that's your drive is, you know, living in poverty is what makes you strive for more because you see around you your neighborhood or how your parents grew up. And in looking at a reading, I just met him earlier, actually. I was, like, looking for him, but he's so tall. I think about at my role now as an educator of, you know, how do I reach my students in trying to encourage them to strive for more, you know, regardless of their economic status, and just show them that, you know, they have value and that they matter. But showing them, too, in my classroom, the way that I try to do it is try to build community and get to know each other, because that ultimately is, you know, how I make a difference, too. So growing up like Ashish, I try to do my best with the students that I have now, and I reflect back at when I was younger and do the best that I can as a teacher.
So speaking of educators and people who may not have parents who are born in this country, may have parents who speak a different language at home. Johnny, what was it like when you realized that in Vista del Lago, we are going to celebrate the best of leaders, regardless of the languages their parents speak, regardless of the cars that they drive, the professions that they have? Sheesh is a student body president year after year. Sometimes people have a moonshot moment and they're the president like once. She's just like year after year after year. So what was that like for you to see that this is the face of leadership and that anyone could follow in his footsteps?
As a teacher of student leadership, you start building your program around this time for the next school year. I heard about Ashish through his middle school teacher, Mrs. Berkey. And before I got to know Ashish in person, there were emails saying you want all these student leaders from the class of 2022 in your ASB leadership program. So the summer of 2018, I got to meet Ashish and Z in his cabinet that he has right now. And I implemented some of the stuff we do here at the Freedom Riders. We did the line game, we did the coat of arms, and I got to know Ashish. And it was that moment that summer that I saw this group of student leaders as my future student leaders leading the school, not just their class of 2022, but the school. And I wanted them as leaders their sophomore year. But they weren't ready. They were very honest with me. And they didn't accept the positions because they were leaders their freshman year. They could lead since then. And unfortunately, COVID hit their sophomore year. They missed out part of their sophomore year. And we went into our junior year with all these plans for homecoming, winter formal, proms, pep rallies, football games, and it wasn't going to happen. And these two took this leadership program and went virtually with our activities. They reached out to their student body. They connected to the student body. They did events on Instagram, on Zoom, and were able to connect to the student body. They had 200 students attend their academic rallies. They did a talent show. So things were different compared to what we were doing before. And when they came in person this past school year, they were able to have their homecomings, their proms, and their winter formals and their pep rallies, limited and structured, but they still did it. And this group is, they're natural leaders. And I know Ashish, I've been trying to teach him and guide him, because at times as teachers, we learn from our students. They teach us. And these two, along with their cabinet, have taught me. I can leave the classroom and they run it. And we can hear them in school board meetings, and you'll hear comments from the community. Ashish for school board president. Ashish for superintendent. Ashish, the best example of leadership in our district. And I can honestly say that I can see Ashish and Kion on a ticket in 2036, 2040.
You in the map. For those of you that did not join us earlier, Kion is all of 11, and we've already elected him. We got to wait 25 years in our country for Kion to have that opportunity. But Kion is going to be running for president. You guys can be on the ticket. Z, you and Ashish had this opportunity to work with the Freedom Riders, mentor a bunch of kids. Many of those kids are in this very room, and celebrate each other. So I know for you, your story was hard to write. You said you had to walk away from it and then come back to it. Ashish was like slow and steady. He just kept making it better and better. So what was that like to be his advocate as you were struggling to say, this is too hard for me, but you were also supporting him as well. So it was like duality of kids, your buddy, and yourself.
I definitely, like, you know, I had to take a break for a moment. What helped me was actually talking to him about it. I think we kind of joked about it. Because I was asking him, like, oh, how are you doing on, like, your writing portion? He's like, I'm doing good, just slow, steady getting there. I'm like, yeah, I haven't looked at my story in, like, a few months. I just needed time. But overall, it was, like, really good to be there for him. Because it's, like, I'm proud of him. And, you know, we've had, like, our bumps in the road. But just seeing him grow and seeing him write his story, like, how he did, was remarkable. And if you've known Ashish for how long I've known him, he's just an amazing person all around. And I feel like everyone needs to get to know Ashish. Like, everyone needs to be like him.
You guys ready to get to know Ashish? Because those are marching orders. So, Ashish, we're ready to get to know you. You have the most exquisite parents. Like so many people in this audience, their parents were born in other countries. Your parents are from Nepal. And they just wanted to make it better for you. So as a little kid, you didn't understand that you couldn't have that cereal, that you couldn't live in that big fancy house. So your parents made a lot of sacrifices as a kid, and that's what your story's about, is sacrifice. And so seeing your parents tonight is going to be honoring your parents. But take us backwards. When you were a little kid and you didn't really understand what sacrifice was.
Yeah, so every time I think about my story, I feel like it's always evolving the way I look at it. I feel like every time I learn more about my parents, I just look at it and it's as much as their story as it is mine, honestly. And I don't know if they understand that it's about them. Like I'm talking about what they did, and they did more of it than me. I was just a kid. My older sister and my parents did more of it than I did. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten to learn more about my family, more about my parents and who they are as people, not just, you know, parents, these figures. And, you know, in my culture, it's a bit difficult. Sometimes we don't really understand who like our family is. We don't really talk about what they've been through and things like that. And as I've grown, as I've grown up, I'm poking and prodding at the little nooks and crannies of, you know, their experience and their journey to, you know, make the American dream. And that's illustrated in my story, just about that journey of raising a family with little and, you know, just making it by.
Adriana, your folks also had to struggle. I know that your parents came to America when they were young. Your mom was just a teenager. She's about 13, and your father was in his early 20s. So when you were reading Ashish's story, you too got to pay homage to your parents. They're from different places. They spoke different original origin languages. But I love that you both paid homage, and you paid homage through your hard work and education. So what was that like, responding to his letter, but also having a love letter to your own family and your own roots?
I always say that I'm living vicariously through my child, but my parents are living vicariously through me. Because every day now that I'm an educator, that's what I strive for too, is to make sure that they know, especially my child, how hard especially my mother, most importantly my mother, because she's the one that struggled the most trying to navigate the waters of living in America, learning the language with four daughters at the time. But when she started to pick up, finally learned the language, that just made the difference. And I wanted to also pay homage to her as an educator now and continue my education and do the same for my own child.
Johnny, you said the background that Ashish lived was very close to home for you growing up as a kid, wanting and wishing and wondering what we can afford and where can we go for a family vacation. So I think there was a lot of a communal spirit in celebrating his story and his success. So tell them what it was like to be that kid who was also in an economic situation then that is much different than now.
I think like what Adriana said earlier, you have that drive growing up in poverty. You see your parents struggle, and then you come to understand that when you're riding on the grocery cart in the grocery store and your mom's pushing the cart and you're reaching out for that name brand cereal, you want to put it in the basket, but your mom puts it back for the lesser brand. My mom and dad made me understand that one day we will be better, we'll be better off. So when I read Ashish's assignment, because it wasn't a story yet, it hit close to home because it brought me back to my childhood and seeing myself at that grocery store that he was describing and wanting to be like my classmates, wanting those name brand shoes, those clothes that they were wearing, the Capri Sun in their lunches. So he took me back in my own time, and I related to his story that much more and got to know Ashish more because I didn't know that part of him. And, you know, we connected in that way even stronger. So I appreciate him talking about that and make me understand that my other students could be in the same situation, and we're here to guide them, and they hopefully get to read his story, and I get to tell them that I relate to Ashish.
So with Lexi, our metaphor was a butterfly. With Ashish, it was a box of cereal. That's what really started this, is Ashish painted an image of being a boy in a supermarket and wanting the cool cereal. And it opened up so many other discussions about wanting that, asking for that, getting punished for that, because not understanding that. You're on the other side now, and you understand. So tonight, your parents are coming to celebrate you. But how could we celebrate all of those parents, yours included, that do the sacrifice, that buy the products that are a little less expensive to give you a little bit more? So how do we celebrate all of those parents?
I think it's just being wary of what those sacrifices look like. I think people are struggling to like make it by. And when I mean make it by, I mean to survive, you know? Economically, when you don't have like two pennies to rub together, like that's a reality for a lot of people. And man, people are trying, they are trying to get better. They're trying to improve their circumstance. Like I really don't think that someone would want to stay in the same spot. You know, and they're trying to rise up, they're trying to fly, they're trying to soar, but you know, sometimes they get shot down. And I mean that metaphorically, but I also mean that literally. That's what it is. I mean, it's happening, you can't really go around it, and a lot of it is, it's just how this country works, you know? I mean, I just think about, you know, when my parents came here, English is not just their second language, it's their third language, it's their fourth language. So like, you know, when my dad's working at Jack in the Box at 12 a.m., like, you know, what does he say to the angry, like, intoxicated homeless man who's like yelling for getting his order wrong, you know? What does he do? And, you know, we've just gone through a lot. Like, I mean, my dad had a small business that didn't work out. He was driving an ice cream van, you know, and we used to live in apartments by the low desert, so really hot. He didn't have AC in that van. That didn't really work out. He did another thing. That didn't really work out. He's doing what he's doing now. And then, you know, sometimes you just got to start fresh. And, you know, for us, it's like, you know, when is it going to be, like, okay? And when things are going okay and we're, you know, we're flourishing, you know, something like COVID happens, and then you kind of have to, you know, restart. And you know, I'm at that point. My sister's at that point. We're growing up now. We're ready to, you know, pursue higher education, get a career, and you know, making sure that our parents are, you know, they can live without worrying about that, and doing our part to serve them. So I think it's just being wary of that, and I feel like that's so important for so many families, you know, around the country and around the world.
To end this beautiful segment, it's no longer about Ashish. It's no longer about Z. It's not about Johnny. It's not about Adriana. It's about our parents. The story was a love letter to your parents. So I want you to look at the camera, and we're going to save this for your parents. And I want you to thank your parents. And as you thank your parents, I want all of you later to go and call your mamas and your papas and thank them as well. So show us what honoring your parents looks like by honoring yours.
So I don't know if I could actually look them in the eye, like in person, and say that, because We're tight, but it's just a little bit uncomfortable, like on vulnerable topics in an immigrant household. But I'll say right here, hopefully they find this this video eventually. But thank you so much, Mom and Dad, my older sister. I mean, they you guys mean the world to me. You're the reason why I'm here. I'm the way that I am. You know, you built that path forward, and you know, maybe you stepped in the wrong spot, but you helped me step in the right spot. And yeah, love you.
So let's light up the room. Let's give a standing ovation to Ashish and Z, and let's hear it for Team Ashish. Let's hear it for Team Ashish. I need Nare. I need Narada. I need Jasmine. This is our prom queen tonight. This is Jasmine. And I wish that she could see what we see. So I want to hear some words from the audience. I just want someone to stand up and shout a word to Jasmine about how beautiful she is, how exquisite. I just want to hear from the audience words that she can hear that she can't see. They love her smile. Stunning. Great hair. Makes you laugh. Personality. Brave. Funny. Worth it. More than words. More than words. Great friend. Resilient. So for those of you that are not with us, Jasmine made a decision that she was going to come to this very place, Hotel Maya, and she didn't want a chaperone. She needed a little help, but she wanted to get help from within, not from without. And so all of us have been getting her from point A to point B because she is sight impaired. But I think that she's got some superhero things that she can compensate for. She's like a Wonder Woman. Would you agree with me, Narada? So there's a microphone behind you. Narada is very fond of the Marvel and DC comics. And so we have a superwoman in our midst. And we were able to find this amazing woman through our Freedom Rider teacher, Nare, who is part of the Glendale Community College program, a counselor. And we have fallen in love with Jasmine. We are loving on Jasmine. So I want to start with you, Narada. You did go to a prom. You're going to have a prom do-over tonight. But tell us about what it's like to be at this prom tonight with this beauty queen who gets to dance and be celebrated and be seen.
Well, one thing that I got to see, sadly, in this whole pandemic thing, I got to watch my son graduate junior high on a laptop. And that broke my heart so bad. You know, they sent home little signs that you can put into your yard and say that your kid graduated, and that just wasn't getting it for me. You know, he didn't get the ceremony. He didn't get the praise. He didn't get that feeling that we all had when you accomplished something. It was pretty much just like he passed a level on a video game, and that was it. And that's what it was. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for him. So for her to miss out on her dances and her experiences, you know, tonight is a do-over. So it's more so important. It's not just people dressing up. It's not just that we're all here to look good and it's a good time and for those things. But there's things, small things that we kind of take for granted at times that this pandemic has shown us that you really can't take for granted anymore. So it's going to be, I pray it's the night of all nights for her. And I just want her to enjoy with her friends and her family. And we're all going to have a good time.
Nare, as a counselor, you get to see kids who may need a little extra. And Jasmine is so independent. She came here alone.
She doesn't need me.
She doesn't need you, but she does. And so to navigate the world without sight, to navigate a keyboard without sight, to navigate the sensory overload that is freedom rider mania without sight. What do you think some of the other things that have been heightened for Jasmine are?
Well, just really quickly, a shout out to community colleges, but I have to tell you how Jasmine became a student author. We did an online event at GCC for the Freedom Riders to introduce them to the campus. She logged in late, was able to put a comment in the chat. The Freedom Rider saw it, and she became the student author. So it was serendipitous. It shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. So that's really important to take a moment to really understand. And as a writer myself, for Jasmine to then change her major from a different, totally different major to English and writing is a huge testament for me as, first of all, a counselor, because it's so hard for students to find what they really want to do. And so I think that's the biggest thing Jasmine, I mean, she gets a lot of things out of this, but I think for me as a counselor, that's the most important thing.
So sadly, every single one of the folks in this room is going to get a Freedom Writer's Diary tonight. And everyone gets to go back to their room and read it, except Jasmine, because Jasmine reads in Braille. So Jasmine has made a request. This book needs to be published in Braille. So I hope that throughout this experience and throughout this journey that we can read to Jasmine the stories. Kathy Connolly from Kentucky just wrote, "Jasmine, you are amazing, and I wish that my students could see you. Coming here alone just shows that you have what it takes. Hashtag, we see you." So Narada, hand our prom queen a microphone. And with those heightened senses, you might not see us. You definitely hear us. It's been a long day. You might smell us. I mean, we were out in the sun, and it was hot. There was a line game. I'm just saying her senses may be heightened. But you definitely feel us. So tell us about the heightened senses that you do have with your Freedom Rider family.
The number one thing that I do feel is love and respect from everyone that is in this Freedom Rider family. There's a lot of things, love, laughter, tears, stories, and that's mainly just how we connected with one another, through stories, tears, laughter, love, pain, a bunch of things, and it just makes us stronger together.
I'm probably being scolded by some Freedom Rider, but I was just given a tweet that said no filter. Maybe the smell comment was a little much. Just being a realist. This is profound, and this is about you, Jasmine. It says, "Jasmine may be sight impaired, but she has vision." Okay. So as someone who is a visionary, what does that feel like for someone in the audience to recognize your vision?
It feels pretty great. One, I'm really glad to be in this book project and be in this family, but I've been writing for a long time. And what's actually cool about being in this family is this happened right as I changed my major to creative writing. And so that's what I want to be, that's what I want to become, and I'm already doing it.
Mm. All right. What I want to become, what I want to be. So, Naray, you are a published poet and author. Narada, you are a published author. Guess what, Jasmine? You're a published author! I need some lights. I need you guys to stand in solidarity with my girl who's going to groove on that dance floor tonight. She's going to read words. She's going to twirl. Get out those phones, get out your lights. And Jasmine, for anyone who is a visionary, for anyone out there, they take something that might be a deficit and it's your strength. So out in that world is somebody just like you who is taking something they thought they couldn't do and they're doing it. So tell them they can do it too.
Don't let the world limit you because you have a disability. Always accommodate for yourself, and there will be people who are right beside you, behind you, with you, and will help you along the way.
I'm so grateful to our student authors, Team Lexi, Team Ashish, and Team Jasmine, as well as their parents, teachers, freedom riders, and all those who celebrate and see them. I'm thrilled to announce that just 2 days after our book was released, we learned that Ashish was accepted to Harvard University, proving that through hard work and determination, anything is possible. My dear listeners, may we have courageous conversations to destigmatize mental health. May we create a more caring and compassionate world. And in honor of these amazing student authors, may we believe that anything is possible. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you for being part of our Freedom Writer family. If you'd like to learn more about our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, Stories of Hardship and Hope from the Next Generation, please go to the episode description in your podcast app and click on the links to our show notes. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.